This meeting is being recorded.
Yeah.
Everybody like to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Thank you, Heidi.
I pledge allegiance to the United States and to the Republic for which it stands, a nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming tonight. If I could get, I'll confirm we have a quorum. We do.
And Tony online.
Okay. Can I get approval of the agenda, the consent agenda, and the minute of June 17th, 2023's regular council meeting, please? Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Any correspondence, Tia?
None.
Okay. Right. Items from the public. Is there a sign up sheet over there, Heidi, please? You have all kinds of duties today. Thank you very much. Okay. Is it Joanne Gerginski or Joan Gerginski? John Gerginski.
Okay, so I want to thank everybody for listening to our problems. Anyway, Aberdeen passed a deal for their 55 and older trailer board, and we would like to have the city of Raymond do the same thing for us, pass an ordinance where the owner can only charge a percentage of 2 to 3% on a rent, because everybody that's in our trailer court that's 55 and older are either on Social Security with a like a pension or something, and it's getting to be where we can't afford any higher rent, and so making it hard for the older senior citizen to live there. And you cannot move your trailer out of the area, even if you could afford it, because it's an ordinance where you can't move them out of Pacific County or Grays Harbor. And so we would like the people of Timberline for you to have the ordinance where they would have to give a 6-month notice before they raise the rent and only go up 2 or 3%. Otherwise, a lot of the senior citizens are going to be having to pitch tents and find a place to put them. I want to thank you all for listening to them.
Okay. And I will respond to that, John. Tia did some research today, and she did find the ordinance. It was presented the 28th of June to the city of Aberdeen. And the ordinance is not specific to percentages. It says relating to increasing the notice period prior to substantial rent increases. It is not specific in the ordinance as to how much that rent increase is, or what the notice period is. So I have the ordinance right here in my hand. So I have reviewed it and I've looked through it, and I do not see any of that information in the ordinance. There was an attachment. It wasn't available online. So I will do some further research and see what exactly the ordinance says in the attachment once I can find it. So, but it doesn't say anything specific about how long or if there's a percentage that they can't exceed. I've never heard of them, not that the city has any kind of power over a renter or an owner, but I will take a look.
I just know that we went to the one in Aberdeen to support the one in Aberdeen, and that's what came up on their agenda was to have the where they could raise the thing without a 6 month notice or a two and only go up 2 or 3.
Okay. Like I said, I do have the ordinance here, and I will look into it further. But in the ordinance I have in front of me that was presented on the 28th, it does not have any time period or any percentages in the ordinance. So, okay. All right?
Okay, thank you.
You bet. But I will look into it.
Okay,
is there anybody else in the audience that is here today that wanted to speak?
Could I say the lease agreement with you guys to have your lawyer look at?
The city cannot do anything. It is definitely a civil matter, and it's between the tenant and it's a landlord tenant issue, and it's a civil agreement, and there's nothing that we can do other than, you know, like I said, we'll look into the ordinance that Aberdeen passed and see what they have said. And in their ordinance. But other than that, we can't get involved in civil matters. So, I mean, you're welcome to have your own attorney take a look at it.
Isn't there a nonprofit?
There is a nonprofit.
There's a gal that lives across the street from me that has seen 3 or 4 lawyers who are supposed to help her. She has the money for a lawyer. And the last lawyer she met here in Raymond, and I did not get the name of the organization, said you have a
I think Councilmember Vaughn can give you some information. I'm aware of an organization, it's a nonprofit that I have dealt with when I worked in South Bend that has helped.
But
so,
they couldn't help her.
But I think this money. I think this one can.
I'll think it can do. It's actually, you call it Seniors Career Line. It's like the Justice
Project. Yes.
And that phone number, sorry.
Here, Jovan.
All right, I got just
here.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So, Mary, I've got a record for you, and I just, this is specifically something that they work around throughout the state of Washington. They have over 350 volunteer attorneys, and they can do basic that can be useful to you, and you can call for some other additional supports. We'll have to call. Their hours are 8 p.m. to 6 p.m., and you have to, like, keep calling to get through. So just be very diligent. It can take a little bit of time. And just a number for you.
Okay.
And you'll need to call them.
Yes.
You'll need to call them until you get through.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
Is Timber 9 strictly a trailer park, or do they do RV, nice RVs also?
No, it's all that's different.
All trailer park.
So we did have 52 trailers. Now we're down to 4 to 5 because some people had to move out because they couldn't afford to rent anything. They had to move in with their family. So there's a few empty trailers and they're trying to sell them, but the thing that makes it bad is the owner of the trailer port has to prove the person that buys it. And if they don't like you, I guarantee you, they won't let the person buy the trailer from you unless you come way down on the price. We had a couple of people already that had to sell their trailer cheaper than they wanted.
Okay, any additional comments from the public? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. to item number 7, resolution 2023-05, a resolution of the City of Raymond, Washington, adopting the 6-year transportation improvement plan for 2024 through 2029. And this was tabled from 6-17-23. And before we go further, if you guys want to leave, you can. If you want to stay, you're welcome to. So if you need something to help you sleep tonight. So do I hear a motion to approve?
Thank
you. You bet.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. We'll just wait a second.
We're going to discuss
that. Yeah, I'm waiting till they leave and then we'll do a discussion. Yes.
Yeah.
Have a good evening, folks. And thanks for coming. And I will I'll let John know what I come up with.
Thanks
okay.
Very much.
You bet.
For listening to
it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, please. Okay. So discussion.
Did the things get fixed that were on the transportation? Because wasn't that why we tabled it? They were.
No, we tabled it because the full packet wasn't available for the council to review.
Okay.
So the resolution only. But it did not include the additional information on each project that was on the plan. Yeah. So now it's all there for you to review. So that's the reason it was tabled. So we had the public hearing already. And now I just need approval of the resolution. So any additional comments, discussion? Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right. Item number 8, PIB bid award for Gerber, Elwood, Harvard Street pavement improvement projects. We need approval to award this project to the highest bidder, which was Lakeside Industries, Inc. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
They are going to do that this summer, right?
Yes. I believe it should have had a timeline. Usually does have a timeline in here. And if it doesn't, I can certainly get you one, but normally it has a timeline. And then I'm going to request a motion to approve and one motion, items 9, 10, and 11, for me to sign TIB grant application for Willapaw, Riddell, Fowler, Jackson, and Raymond, South Bend, Elm, Bradford, Lower Jackson Street grant applications. Do I hear a motion to approve? Okay, discussion. Okay. Well, they're applications. We hope to be able to. That's right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. There's been a lot of movement with the pool. I will explain to you, the council, what I have proposed to the pool board, and I will let Karen step in where she feels, especially if I misstep. We had a, maybe I should start at the beginning. I can tell you that ABC and Jewel Hardy of ABC, the city, the pool board, and at one time, bless Leon's heart, he had a passion for the pool. As you all know, Leon has passed away. Everybody was kind of doing their own thing. Nobody really knew what everybody's doing. We had a meeting last Tuesday, got all the parts and pieces together. I think everybody now is officially on the same page. I had a separate meeting with Michelle from pool. Just her and I, and explained to her what my proposal is going to be to the council. There's just been a severe lack of leadership at the pool. And there's a lot of things that have potentially had the potential to cost the city a lot of money because of that lack of leadership. So my proposal to the city is going to be that the city fully take over the pool. We manage the pool. We hire and fire the lifeguards. We hire a director who will oversee the pool. We keep whoever that is on with a small, very small stipend during the winter months that can go over once a month, check the pool, make sure everything's okay, make sure that there's nobody has broke in, no vandalism. And in return, the pool, POOL, will be responsible for, at this point in time, $40,000. They will be required to pay the city to help offset the cost. Right now, I think that's the way I'm looking at it. It's probably about 50% of the cost of running the pool. They will be required to report to the council monthly. They'll be required to provide the council with their minutes from their monthly pool board meetings. And they'll be required to submit a minimum of a 5-year capital outlay project plan to budget. Everything that goes into that capital outlay project plan, the city will pay 50%, the pool will pay 50%. So they need to continue to fundraise heavily, they need to save their money, and they need to plan ahead. The city, I made it very clear to Michelle, the city will not pay for a new heater, because that was mismanagement by the pool. The heater is for the pool, we're looking at $80,000 to $100,000 to replace the heaters. Right now, I think there's 3 heaters and we're limping along with 1. Praying every day, and I think the only saving grace is the weather. It's been hot and it's helped relieve the pressure off of that one heater. So we're praying we get through this season without it failing.
Question.
Yes.
It's $80,000 to $100,000 for all the heaters, not just
one. Right. It's a one full heating system.
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish Eric was here. They've been looking at the difference between electric and propane, which one would work the best for that. I know I made it clear to Michelle that I didn't care how pool came about, the money. It just wasn't in the city's coffers.
I have a question.
Yes.
My options are they don't come up with $40,000 a year.
Then there's no pool.
That's what I mean. It doesn't shut down.
Yep.
So if they're $5,000 short.
Then that falls on them.
Okay. I'm just curious how that.
I've seen their profit and loss. They bring in about $70,000. So I can't imagine.
They do that over the season?
Yes. They bring in over $40,000 just in swim fees. So that's something that when this contract comes to you guys, that's something I want you guys to look at very hard, because $40,000 may not be enough.
So are we including fundraising and pool fees in that $40,000?
No. That's how I told Pool or Michelle at that time. I didn't care how they got to their $40,000. They had to pay the city $40,000 once a year. How they got there, I didn't care. So
pool fees are part of that. It's just the fundraising.
It could be their swim fees. It could be fundraising. However they get to that 40, I'm not going to look at. I know, Chris, you're.
Yeah. Yeah. So describe to me a little bit the relationship between, we're going to hire a director for the pool. What's the relationship between those two entities?
The director would be hired by the city to oversee and manage the pool. They're not going to be a lifeguard. They're not going to be a maintenance person. They're going to be oversee the pool completely. They will be there daily overseeing the pool. They will check people in. They'll oversee the money. They will watch, they will report back to the city this is broke. This needs to be fixed. This, that, so other.
Pool's role is strictly a fundraising role.
And to, yes, strictly a fundraising role. And they will still collect the money. They will still be there to, they're still the nonprofit that will pretend, well, somewhat oversee the pool, but we are still responsible for the employee.
Okay. So I guess, okay, so it sounds like that an operating agreement between pool and the city needs to be.
It's in the works. I hadn't got there yet, Chris. Okay. I sent all the information to Joel as to what we are talking about tonight.
Yeah.
And explained it, and yeah. He's working on that agreement.
Sure.
So, okay.
Last thing, maybe. Just my view of the asset, and us owning the asset, the city owns that pool.
Which we already do. So yes.
So I'm not sure, I don't think that the nonprofit should be involved in any capital outlays to the pool. However, if the nonprofit wanted to take on a fundraising effort for a specific capital improvement, okay, I get that. But on an ongoing basis, it's our asset, our accountability to take care of that pool. It's not theirs.
I get your point. Okay. However, they're a nonprofit.
Yes.
And they have the ability to go for the grants,
yes,
and get the funding that the city does not.
Yes.
So that is why I want them to be held accountable and be responsible for 50% of that capital outlay. Because you could be looking at $100,000 or more for relining the pool.
Yeah. Okay.
So they have to, I'll say it, they have to be held accountable and their feet to the fire. Or it's going to be same stuff, same day, over and over again.
Well, I think for me, it's just a conceptual issue or problem that it is not their building. It is our building. Whatever, if we decide that building, we're going to sell that building in the future, they're not going to share the profits of that building or whatever. Yeah. So I'm not sure. I can see their role as a fundraising vehicle for a specific, like we're going to replace the heaters, we need to raise $100,000, and the pool organization can lead the fundraising. I get that, and I think they could be very useful in that. But I think in the final analysis, that is our building, that is our asset. It is not theirs.
So what motivates them if they bring in $70,000 a year, and that's low, if they bring in $70,000 a year and they only pay us $40,000, what motivates them to do anything?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, it depends. Depends what the operating agreement says. I mean, if they are just there as a fundraising vehicle.
But they're not. They're still a part of it. They still have some capacity to volunteer. We need volunteers.
Hire the employees.
We will hire.
Will they be city employees then?
No, they will be city employees. They'll be city employees. I'm still working through this.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you part of the reason, and part of the reason I wanted to go this route too, is currently when they bring in these lifeguards, they send them over. These lifeguards are paying out of their pocket $350 to come back over here to be a lifeguard and make minimum wage. Would you do that? Would any of you do that? I wouldn't do that.
I understand what you're talking about with wanting pool to be responsible of helping pay for heaters when over the years they refuse to take that money that they made and help us maintain. It's all about maintenance of the building. It is our facility. It is up to us to maintain. But because of the past, what I think you're doing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you simply want to um, incorporate into that their responsibility to be responsible people working with us and not just put it off. And because we didn't know they were that bad.
Right.
We didn't have the information. We didn't have the communication. If I'm
And I think right. Karen can agree. We didn't. And
by not having that, then that puts it worse on us. So if you give them some accountability in maintaining the facilities, because really, and if they're taking the monies, then they should have some maintenance responsibilities to the facility that they're using.
Well, I would agree with that if they're operating, but it doesn't sound like they're going to be operating.
Yes, but we are not even in compliance with the bylaws right now. We don't have we have three people that we're not even in compliance. Okay, so we've got a meeting next week. We'll get in compliance with our bylaws. But then you have a full board and members that want to sit, and then you have volunteers. People that want to come down because your director, this is not even this year, next year, you have the pool rentals for birthday parties. You have special swims. You have a multitude of things that happen at that pool that the director, she's not going to spend 7 days a week down there, 12, 14 hours a day. That's why you have a pool board and volunteers then step up and say, I will take care. I'll volunteer and work that party. I'll volunteer and work this party. I'll come in. We need some extra cleaning that day. That's why you have a pool board to do those things and work with the director. Which is, if you look back in the minutes, back in the day, we had a full list filled of names that volunteered every day at the pool. So I understand where you're coming from.
I'm trying to envision how this agreement works.
But we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to look like myself.
Well, go back in history. Years ago, the city hired a manager, and the manager did it all. And it was
the city, I don't believe, has ever paid.
So in my research, we had an old binder and it did have information of that. It said in the 50s when it opened, it was ran and operated by the city. And that was up till the 80s.
Oh, I was there.
Yeah.
I still have a pretty good memory. And I can tell you who the managers were.
Yeah.
And typically what they did is they went and got a college student. That was or a teacher.
Someone else had the summers off.
There was teachers that managed it. There was college students that managed it. And those people were given a 3-month contract or assignment. You run it. That was their deal. So they weren't there year round. It was part time, you know, on and then gone.
You have a meeting. I can't help you. You can go talk to grandma.
But there wasn't, there wasn't this 501(c) then at that point.
So hang on just a second. Joel, if you need more time, I can call you. We're in a pool discussion right now. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
So anyway, I understand where you're going. I'm just trying to figure out how this thing's gonna mesh, because if you make it work, then you know, so be it. But I'm just trying to figure out, if you got a director, to me, he's the director, he runs it.
But he's
got pool off to the side that wants to do all these things.
But he's gonna work, he's gonna be part of the pool.
Okay.
He's going to be part of the pool. So he's not going
to tie that up there.
Absolutely.
Okay. AFL certified.
All right.
So we'll see how it comes together.
Yeah.
Speak. Please.
No, I didn't. Speak.
I don't have any background to help. So the pool closed for probably in the 80s.
17 years.
And in the late 90s, they decided, well, we really need this pool. We're going to start this pool. Group got together, decided to fundraise, grant, write, come up with a way to reopen. So they did all that. It got completely revamped and organized, but also rebuilt by 2002. I've been through all the box documents. So they had a full pool board then of at least 6 people. They had at least a dozen fundraisers that they did that were written into these grant applications. And then at some point after that, they were renting the pool, a brand new pool, right? Again, they're renting it. And the agreement that I've read, is the most recent agreement, is signed in 2017. And it put the responsibility for the operations and the management of the pool and the maintenance of the pool on the pool board. Building is owned by the city. The city would do the maintenance outside around the pool, but the whole running of the whole thing was on the pool board, this nonprofit organization. Well, so at some point, they lost most of their board members.
All of them.
So, you know, they're down to three board members. And I think the bylaw they're going to just have
that certification. But that kind of goes to my point is, then the asset goes into disrepair. Our asset goes into disrepair because there's some dysfunction with the organization running. And so then we're standing there going, well, now we need three good leaders at 80 grand or 100 grand.
Which is
that's the dilemma I think you've got to stay away from. Somehow or another, this director and this board has got to take care of this asset.
And that's why I'm taking it out of the, taking that out of pool's hands.
Okay.
Because we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
We can't.
No.
Because had it been different, I do not believe we would be sitting here today discussing this. We would not have let heaters sit all winter with chlorine in them. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jovan.
So I just want to add my this. So having a physical nonprofit sponsor is a very standard practice. It helps find a little bit of the way. Second off, given the kind of direction of the board, I've heard a lot from a lot of community members involved with it. There's a real vigor to actively engage in directing and having some type of advisory panel. But there's also an understanding that they don't have the capacity or the knowledge themselves individually or as a group to actually do the maintenance and operations of it. I would love to see the agreement to get an idea about this $40,000. I feel like that's being very generous. I know with operating a similar building that those costs are great estimates, but if anything changes in that market, if any supply becomes different in that market, that changes the entire impact. I also think that in order to build succession and longevity planning, it's important that the city maintains control over our assets. But if we have a volunteer-led advisory board panel that's willing to actively engage in that fundraising process and utilize that 501c, that breaks that money off of us going through and banking into a venture fund. It allows them to fund a lot of work. They've also looked at about seven different communities that have done it in a similar pattern. The thing that changed most importantly for most of those communities was the centralized group directing themselves, self-funded themselves at one point because they were getting basically every grant they got 3% of the grant. Right, and they begin to self-fund themselves instead of full operation maintenance teams on site that do work. And on some of them have been bought by the private community or HMA that took over the area or whatever, but there's two or three of them that are still operating. So it's actually a pretty intelligent way to break that liability, but also to give us as a city not the burden of coming up with a grant or trying to seek all the funding seeds for it and allow that director to act. I would like to see the agreement, though, and I would say that as a director, it's imperative that the city does employ a director in that matter. We need to write that break off of grants because that will motivate the people to work to get the type of grant funding that we can direct grants, partnership grants, and they can support Eric on that duty too so that he's not getting another asset that's going to require hours and hours of extra grant. So that would just be mine. There's my sense.
And I want this noted too that Jewel is applying for the one-time maintenance grant for $100,000. And I made it very clear to Michelle that money would not go for the heaters.
Yep.
So I've said it here on the record. I can tell you that they're probably close to, what, $40,000 just since last week in donations.
Over 30
for sure, yes.
So about the five-year capital outlay project plan, I think that is a good idea if they have a part in that because
it gives the community a stake in the pool. And I think that that is necessary. And I know because you don't feel like that, you feel like that's off somehow, but if the public has no way of saying what they want, then they're not going to be as motivated. And I think that this gives the public a chance to say, yes, we would like this in there. Yes, we want a new splash pad. Yes, this is how we want this in a couple of years. So I think that is an important part of the agreement.
And it will be, it's going to be a part of the budget. It has to be. You know, we have to start somewhere.
And I think that if they do that, then they should find a way to fund those extra things, which once again will give the city's residents more skin in the game, and then the capability to, you know, look at it and say, oh yeah, we helped to do that.
I
think that's important.
And for what it's worth, good, bad, or indifferent, I feel like we have all these assets, the pool, the theater, the this, the that, and they all just sort of take backstage somewhere in the budget that gets underfunded and just sort of overlooked. And if we're going to have them, we need to do something with them. If we're not going to do anything with them, then get rid of them. And the pool is one thing that I feel like the public really wants to have. And if we're going to do that, then we need to figure out a way to make it work. And what we're doing now isn't working. So we got to do something else. Yes.
I would like this put in an agreement. They put the locker rooms back the way they used to be.
Okay.
Because they switched them. When we were growing up, the men's was always on the right-hand side. Not time to go down there. I go on the right-hand side.
Sure. And that doesn't have anything to do with it. I know.
They just did something to you.
Change.
So
I could never figure out why they did it. There was absolutely no reason.
That's the way with a lot of things in mind.
Well,
but I want to applaud Karen. She's worked so hard on this. Yeah. And Tia as well. They have done an outstanding job. Tia has spent a lot of her personal time down there and a lot of time researching and looking back at old documents and trying to help me figure out the best way to do this. And so, you know, all we can do is push forward and hope for the best.
All right, so
moving on. Department head reports, Fire Chief Bill Didion.
All right, thank you, Mayor. So August 1st marked the completion of the one-year probationary period for two of our members, Bryce Nichols and Chris Rocket. And I'm going to let you know that I'm very, very proud of both of them. They've done an outstanding job, and they've been a huge addition to our department. So Bryce, for those who know him, he was, you know, he's best in this community. He had a job with the PUD for many years, and he had the courage to make a switch and join our department. So that took a lot of courage, and he's done amazing, and he's been a great addition to our department. Chris, he's a young, very bright paramedic that came to us from the Spokane area, and he's done amazing, settled in well, and he's a great fit for our department, and they both have bright futures with us. So very happy, I'm very excited about the future with those two. Yeah. We had a good weekend, and I just want to go on record and thank Chief Matlock and Dana Williams for putting together National Night Out. That was a great event. They put a lot of hard work and effort into that, and the community came out strong to support it. And so thank them both. That's about all I have. If you guys have any questions?
Have you been doing ambulances in service yet?
So we have one, and it's been doing awesome for us. It's very much in service, and the tools on it have worked out amazing. The power load gurneys I think they've already saved some back injuries, and the Lucas CPR device had some great success. So very happy about it. We're looking at, I'm thinking probably September for the next one, which is amazing. So that should be here before we know it. So that process was very exciting, and, you know, can't say enough the support that we've got for those. So good things.
Okay. Any additional questions or comments? Okay. Police Chief.
January.
So,
Police Chief Patman.
Well, thanks, Chief, for
mentioning us, but I really didn't have anything to do with it. It was the committee that actually put that together. I'm very proud of our office, and actually, you know, just about every employee in the city, city crew was amazing, blocking the streets off and helping us with that. National Night Out, I felt, was a good success. I know some of you were there. I appreciate that as well. The planning committee is already looking towards next year and making it even bigger and better. We did do a kind of a hot wash, basically afterwards, on what we could better, what went wrong, what were some of the complaints. And, you know, some were small, some were medium, but nothing real big, but things that could be fixed easily next year, just to make it run smoother. The park was a great venue. The weather cooperated. That was phenomenal. And then, you know, it was a long way because we shifted into the festival Friday and Saturday. I'm pleased to report from a law enforcement standpoint that it was really, really nice. The people enjoyed being here. We didn't have any issues as far as that were reported to us as far as anything major, you know, assaults or disorderly conducts or things like that. People minded their P's and Q's and seemed to enjoy the music and the vendors and everything else. We checked out all the different areas. You know, we went down to the softball fields to make sure things were great there. And they had 8 or 9 or 10 competitive teams there, and they played well into Sunday afternoon. And just, I saw a lot of people who I thought were going to be sore Monday morning, let's put it that way. But it was excellent to see that. We had a lot of people that really that you wouldn't imagine be down there were down there just because it was something to see and do. I know the association made some money selling burgers and hot dogs and things like that. We can thank you, Nancy and Brett Solomon, for running that the whole weekend. We didn't have any real parking issues down there. We had some people camping there, which we allowed for the weekend. You know, they were gracious enough to ask us if we'd leave the bathrooms open for the evening. And I thought, you know what? It's a hell of a way to watch over them, make sure they're okay and everything else, and they can get some use out of them here in our city. So that went well. And of course, we went down the next day to make sure everything was taken care of. And the parade was great, even though it rained a little bit. And, you know, it was short and sweet, but, you know, the police department learned we need to stock up on our candy game because we ran out about halfway through. So, but all in all, it was a great event. And, I think everybody that was involved should be real happy about that. And as far as our agency goes, we're doing very well. Our calls are about the same. They're pretty consistent. We've been pretty proactive. Today we were able to get out a case that happened really quick involving somebody who may have been trying to lure a young girl. That person was apprehended and put in jail, and within a matter of about 20 minutes. So being involved and being in the middle of the community and having strategically placed people really helped. So there you have it. Thank you for giving us the resources to do what we can.
Any questions or comments?
No, I just don't have. I just want to say you're the best assistant for the raffle. You know, again, next year, but I'm bringing my mic next year. So
well, you know, it's funny. That was in the hot wash part. You know, we should probably have a microphone in the middle so everybody can hear.
Yeah, so we can get that for you next year. So,
the other complaint was that we need to have a bouncy house guard because some of the bigger kids were kicking little kids up. We'll fix that too.
Yeah,
I heard that. Well, and I just want to say that overall, I think it was really well attended and really good. I mean, for the size of the town, there were a lot of people there. So I kudos to Officer Stiegel, kudos to the group that put it together. I think it was really well done. And, you know,
I'll help next year.
I think it reflected well on all the departments that were there and one of the cities.
I appreciate that. I think the organization of it at the beginning is the way that makes it easier. You know, it'll add on and add on and add on, but everybody had a say and everybody had a piece and ownership in it. And so that way it can be a group effort, not just somebody saying, you know, you're choosing to do what you want to do, but not nobody else. So that's the important part to us, but we just want to make sure that we did our city proud. So thank you for that comment.
I got a lot of feedback about it, also about how nice it was to engage with the police departments, the environment, works. How much the kids enjoy hanging out with Aisha and the garbage truck, and just
garbage truck was pretty cool.
It was kind of, I have to be honest.
Did she finally get some people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was standing over there. I was down late, but early. Yeah. I mean, and okay. She was all by herself, and she's like, I scrubbed it up, and it's
funny. She scrubbed that thing.
Yeah, she had a little bit of fun. As soon as they realized they could push the thing, that was over. It was just such a great event. I think it really kicked off our weekend. Way,
and
that's what inspired people to have such a great time.
One more thing I want to do is work with Kaylee's. We exchange emails all the time, but our parking issue is starting to slowly take care of itself, and we're starting to actually make headway on that. And we have a tracking system to where We can tell what's still being towed, what's not towed, and there's some bigger projects that we're still working on. But I think all in all, by the first of the year, we'll see a marked improvement on our streets, hopefully.
Yeah, and thanks to the officers, I went around one day, and it was like I had added 15 cars to the list. And then that weekend, I think everything was tagged, and only three needed towed out of 30. So they worked hard on getting that list caught up.
I thought there was an ordinance that every household had to have 10 cars parked outside.
That's only
you would have thought.
It's only Riverdale.
I know a little bit. I need to get some more view.
Don't come by our house. Okay. We have a tractor now. So, anybody, anything additional for Chief Matlock? Okay. Public Works Director Eric Weiberg is not able to be here tonight. I'm sure everything is, he's been out, so I'm sure, but everything is good. So, everything good in the office, Tia?
Yep.
Okay. Mayor's comments, I don't have much. I've been out. We left the first to go to Sweet Home. Just got back today. I did receive a tremendous amount of complaints, emails, phone calls. I was in touch with Pat, our Chief Matlock. I was in touch with the Department of Transportation over the flags that were flying at the roundabout. He was not violating any laws. He was on state right away. He was visited by the Department of Transportation. They asked him to move his flags behind the roundabout sign. Whether he did or not, I don't know. But he had a stack of paperwork from every circuit court of appeals this side of the Mississippi. He has the right of freedom of speech. He can do what he wants. So he was not violating anything. Whether we liked it or not, I was not going to engage in his propaganda. He was looking for a fight. I think that the chief will agree with that. And I think it's just very ironic, because I think you all know what we all went through in June. If you don't know what I went through, stop by sometime and I'll tell you. But I just think it's very ironic that the people that were probably the most upset were some of the people that I supported in June. So, you know, everybody has a right to have their say. So they're gone now and they moved on. And I can tell you, in Long Beach, a council member went up to him and told him, "You are not welcome here. Pack up your stuff and go." And he said, "I have the right to be here. It's my First Amendment right, and I'm not going anywhere." So
I think he would come and switch it when he didn't get what he wanted from us. Right. And that is the best outcome that
that's
you can
right.
ask for.
That's right. And that's what I had hoped for. Everybody just leave him alone. If you don't engage, if you don't create a fight, if you don't create a stir, that, and if that's what they're looking for, then they leave. So anyway, that's my speech. Things were great in Sweet Home. 15,000 in a town of 9,000 was a wild and crazy week. So anyway, so any public comments on the current agenda items? Okay, hearing none. Council comments.
I was going to ask Karen, do you need any help with the Parks Planning Commission?
Can we have more than two people on a committee?
Yes, you can have three. It's not a quorum.
We should have more people.
And I think they'd like to have you on the pool board.
Oh, okay.
Just think about it.
You were looking at it, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are you maxed out, Javon?
I'm not taking any more.
No.
So, and then when is the next?
I'll have the Parks Committee. I don't know, but I can look and tell you when the next pool board meeting is.
On the 14th.
Yeah, it is on the 14th. Yeah.
It's on the paper.
The Parks Committee, I believe, was going to meet the same week. They were just waiting on Jewel to come back. She wanted to sit down with them.
Yeah. Well, if you just don't let me know, I can go with you. Okay.
All right. So any additional council comments? Yes, Chris.
I got a comment. Hey, I noticed, and I think you're about to notice too, that our RV park is substantially moving forward. However, I yet to see any fence or landscaping.
It's pretty early for that.
I understand that. Well, okay. You could say it was should have been done before. However, what I'm concerned about is who does his occupancy permit?
Eric himself? Eric, and he will not get his approval until he has complied with his conditional use permit.
Okay. Well, I think Eric has said that more.
Yeah, he has said it multiple times.
I think that proactively that somebody should remind the construction guy of that, just so we don't run into, well, you never said I had to type. You know,
trust me,
we made it pretty clear to
him.
I understand, but
we should put it in writing and send him a letter.
Well, I'm just
Tia just let me know, he was just reminded recently.
Okay,
so and there's been a lot of Eric could take you to lunch and spend 3 hours and tell you all the stuff that he has gone through in the last 2 weeks, so or 3 weeks. So right. there's a lot of discussion.
The other piece about that, and I talked to Eric about a long time ago, but on the back of his property where our old driveway goes there, I don't think it would be too bad an idea that we city. Do a little planting or green belt of our own. Just as a double protection of what's going on. Mike Norton of the Conservation District at one point said that we'll come along and plant the trees if you want to do that. So just as a thought, just after we get everything in, maybe take a look at it, see how it looks, if it needs something more.
Maybe send Eric an email. Maybe send Eric an email.
Yeah, I talked to Eric about it.
Okay, well, just as a reminder.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Yeah, I got one thing that I forgot to ask the fire chief. Burning in barrels, is it legal in the city right now?
No, you're not supposed to burn in barrels.
Period. Ever.
Okay. I live on the island.
Okay.
For the last 3 years, about dust. The wind blows right up the street and somebody's burning.
Okay.
I found it today.
Okay.
By the Hannon Playhouse.
Huh?
By the Hannon Playhouse.
No.
Huh?
It's on 8th Street. It's the barn shaped greenhouse. They every night, same time, they burn their garbage. Every night.
We can look into that. And if you, the next time you notice it, just call down to the station, okay. Tell them what's going on.
I can do that. Because it was nasty this morning.
That happened on Sunday at the festival. The entire park was smoked out, but it was right by the Hannon Playhouse. So,
yeah, this is regularly.
Okay.
Okay.
But sure.
All right. Yeah, just call down or
okay.
Let me know.
Yeah,
you can
do that. Yeah.
Hey. Any additional council comments? Okay, any future agenda topics? Okay, executive session. There will be no decision made at the end of the executive session. So
for this first recording.
I hope. Joel, are you on?
I'm here.
Okay, there'll be no decisions made, correct?
Right. You don't have a quorum, is that right?